I want to welcome to the show today, Mark Savant. Most dads won't read a book or take parenting classes. The Act a Dad Awesome Dad show highlights awesome dads and inspires men to be better fathers. Mark Savant is the host of the Act a Dad podcast, and he interviews NFL players, presidential candidates, doctors, influencers, and more. We are living through unprecedented times. The internet and technology are changing the way the world operates. We must evolve our skill sets to remain relevant and provide for our families. Many people do a job they hate and live for the weekend. Mark is aiming to build a lifestyle that he's excited about every day. I am so excited to talk to you today, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you, Jody. I'm glad to be here.
So I love this, you know, that whole idea of, you know, people living in jobs that they hate, lifestyles that they hate, not living, you know, intentionally or not living in a way that they feel a satisfaction and enjoyment with their life. Like, I 100%, like, that's why I started this whole journey. I wanted to make that kind of shift and also show families that there is a possibility that you can take control of your lifestyle. So yes. Tell us more about how you got started with this journey of the Act a Dad podcast and talking about this concept of being intentional about your lifestyle.
Sure. So my origination story is pretty similar to yours. I graduated from college down here at Florida Atlantic University in South Florida with my wife, got my degree, started working, was making good money, very happy with the amount of money. I actually was working with my family as well. So there's a lot of benefits there. A lot of flexibility being with your family is definitely important to me. Mm-hmm. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter and a 9-month-old son now. About 2 years ago, I came to this realization that I was not satisfied with where my life was at, right? I was paying my bills. I didn't want for anything. Paying home, everything was getting paid off on right. time. So I was very happy with that. But I continued to lie to myself to say, I don't really deserve better. Everything mm-hmm. is in order. My life is in order. I don't deserve better. I've made mistakes in the past. I'm where I'm at now. I don't deserve better. And I took my wife and kid, at this time was my daughter, out to dinner. And I ended up snapping at the waitress for something small. Something that wasn't on the menu that I wanted. So I snapped at the waitress, and someone at the table next to us made a remark to me about how rude I was being. And it was kind of like an aha moment. It was a wake up moment. And so I talked to my wife a little bit about it. And I came to this realization that there's no reason that I have to be in the space where I'm distributing negativity to those around me. And that was kind of the turning point, the tipping point where I said, I need to do something different with my life.
Because even though you were quote unquote satisfied, right? You were like, everything was going okay. You had your needs met. But at the same time, what would you say was that lie that you were telling yourself then?
Well, I think it's that my financial needs are being met, right? But personally not satisfied with my work. I mean, I think this story manifests itself amongst the population every day. You're going to a job where you make 6 figures, but you go home feeling exhausted and like your soul is being sucked out. You're living for the weekend. You're not excited for Monday.
Yeah.
You're getting passed up for opportunities. Gosh, I remember, I'm not going to name the retail establishment, but I was working this retail establishment. I would say one of the better employees there. I showed up. I was knowledgeable about every department. I had good relationships. I led a volunteer effort. I was very involved with the company. And then when it came time to make a small step up from like a floor salesman to a supervisor, right. They brought in some outside guy who didn't know anyone.
What?
Wasn't super knowledgeable. And yeah. I was like, I never want to have my life controlled by someone else. I want to take control. So wow. That was another, I think, life event that really resonated with me.
Yeah, that hits hard. That's like, you think you trust the people that you're working for and you've been trying to build up rapport with them and good relationships. And then it's like, oh no, we're going to just stab you in the back and say, sorry, you didn't make the cut.
What? Right. Like, or they don't want to promote you because then you're a threat to take their promotion, take their right. job. So they want to keep the talent down. And that's one of the biggest I think, problems with that corporate mentality, that corporate lifestyle. But what's great, Jody, about what you're doing with your show and what I'm doing with the Awesome Dad Show is there's tools out there so that you can gain the flexibility to spend time with your family, but to also take that control of your life, to build your personal brand, to reach new people, to network. And that, I think, is probably the most important thing that we can be doing as parents in this day and age.
Yeah, I 100%. Like, so that's the things that I want to help promote, is that we are here to demonstrate for our children that they have more than one option. They don't have to just climb the corporate ladder. You know, that's why I started this podcast, because, well, at the time when I started, it was like, what is wrong with us? We're so miserable. we are sort of making our bills most of the time, but, you know, things like that, or thinking, you know, we love each other. Why are we so miserable? Like, what is going on? And after exploring this whole concept of the culture that we grew up with telling us there's just one path to success, and we weren't making it.
You're following that blueprint that's been laid out and proven successful over the last 50 years, 100 years. The X factor is the internet. The internet changes everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we're in unprecedented times right now, like you mentioned in my little intro there, and that we don't know what the future is going to hold. It's just paramount that you're building your own personal digital brand, that you're creating a framework for your kids to be successful and to see your success. So that's super important.
Yeah. So is that what you basically talk about on the Awesome Dad podcast? Like, you are working on, you know, giving dads the framework for how to make that shift?
So the Awesome Dad Show, the Awesome Dad Show is a little bit different. When I became a father, I had a hard time finding a show or a podcast that I really enjoy. There were a lot of dad joke pages and dad memes. There were a lot of good parenting pages, but I would say it's 80% geared towards women, 20% towards the dads. So I wanted to build a very professional, well-produced, high-quality program and community focused on fatherhood specifically. So, so dads felt like they had a home somewhere that they could go and that would appeal to them. And I said, who would dads want to listen to? Most dads aren't going to read a book, but they might listen to their favorite NFL player or a political candidate that they like, or a public figure that they respect, a celebrity. They might listen to their story and maybe they'll be inspired to be a little bit better.
Wow.
And that's kind of where it started. And as I built up that community and I built up the show, it was fascinating because I would walk away from every episode with tips to help myself. And that became kind of my goal, is how can I share these stories and walk away with valuable information that helps me be a better person, a better father. And it just kind of started resonating with people in the community. They say, well, they were learning too. They were learning along with me. And so it's been a really rewarding process.
I like that, because like you said, there's a lot of content out there for dads and for moms that's kind of like almost making a mockery of like, let's tease this culture of being a dad and having to deal with and survive through parenthood, or, you know, things like that, that, right. And it's like, okay, yeah, those are fun things to like joke around and laugh about. But at the end of the day, we still need to be parents. Like, we still need to have these like tactical strategies that is like, okay, my kid just had a total meltdown, or my kid's facing mental illness, or my kid's facing, you know, tragedy at schools and things like that.
Right.
A joke.
Well, that's another big problem, in that when you start looking at prison populations and mass violence and addiction, and you start connecting the dots, there's a very, very strong correlation between fatherlessness and these problems that are manifesting themselves amongst society. But again, if we could kind of change the narrative on what it means to be a father, I think that we can start to change the culture about how important the father is, and help dads to be proud of their role in the household.
Wow. So what is something that you talk about that is a narrative shift? What is an important principle that we can tell our dads, that fatherhood is so important? What is one of your favorite, I guess, strategies or a mindset shift that you like to talk about?
Well, time management for me is probably the most challenging part about being a parent in general. It's we all struggle with it. You're being pulled in 20 different ways. You're juggling all these hats. And so one of the things that I'm very passionate about, Jody, is finding ways to combine things that you love and enjoy. So, for example, you need to exercise. You need to take care of yourself, right? So where does that hour slot into your day? Well, maybe I can go on a bike ride with my kids, or I can go to the park and play soccer with them. Now I'm combining that quality time with my family along with my need to exercise and be healthy. So I'm always looking for different ways and insights from fathers and parents on how they're executing on those types of strategies.
Wow, that's so awesome. So it's like, it's this balance between knowing that I have needs, but my children also have needs. I need to be present with them, and being able to not, it's not even a compromise. It's almost, it's really like synergistic, because you're accomplishing both and you're meeting everybody's needs. I like that a lot. That's a really cool strategy. get both things in there, because okay. So what is the definition of a good dad, in your opinion? I mean, quote unquote, nobody's like, yeah. Okay, let me qualify that. Hold up. You know, it's like, there's always like, you see it a lot with moms, like saying, you know, cause there's a lot of mom guilt. There's a lot of, and I know there's dad guilt, and it's like, there's a million ways to be a good mom, or you're not going to, you know what I mean? You're not ever going to be the best mom, or you're not ever going to be a perfect mom, but there's a million ways to be a good mom, right? You're never going to be a perfect dad, but there's a million ways to be a good dad, right? Like, and so that's what I wanted to say and qualify that question as, you know, that it's like, okay.
Well, I never aim to be a parenting expert. I hate that term.
No, me too. Like that's one of the things I'm like, this is not a parenting podcast, even though I'm in the parenting category or whatever, you know, it's like, I honestly believe that the shift that we need to make in our culture is that, not that parenting is this like special thing that we have to figure out how to become an expert in. Because it's really just the narrative that we talk about, how we talk about parenting, how we talk about families, not to make them something that's like apart from our day-to-day life or anything. Like if we just live consciously and live intentionally and prioritize our relationships, then it becomes integrated into those things that are important. Just like you said, if exercise is important to this dad, then he's going to integrate his family into that, because they are all important. Right. And we're going, wait, I get to balance all these things. It's not a question of balance. It's more a question of how do you integrate and how do you make these things a priority, because it's part of who you are. Right.
Yes. Yeah. It's a constant balance. It's challenging. And every family is different. Every child is different. Every parent's different. So I don't think that you can just lay out a cookie cutter list of, if you do these 21 things, you're going to be a great dad, and your kids are going to grow up to be well-formed human beings. It's not that simple.
Right.
But I would say, in order to be an act-a-dad, for me, probably the one core principle of being an act-a-dad is that you need to give your kids attention. Kids just need attention. And we live in a society and in a world now, a technological age, where attention is being commoditized and it's being taken at every turn. I'll give you a perfect example that might resonate with you and your listeners here. The other day, I'm drinking my morning coffee on the front porch, which is something I've been doing to try to wake up in the morning, because I have a hard time waking up in the morning. So I get up, my daughter wakes me up. It's 6:50, 7 a.m. Get up, coffee, go out front. So I'm sitting on the porch and my daughter's just kind of playing quietly. I take out my phone. I'm starting to respond to emails, respond to comments, engage with the community, and then my daughter starts like hitting me with a foam noodle. And I'm like, stop it. Go over there. And so I go back to what I'm doing on my phone. 2 seconds later, she hits my leg with a skateboard. I'm like, stop it. What are you doing? I go back to my phone and I'm browsing Facebook, doing something. And then 3 seconds later, a ball hits me in the head, and I get up like I'm frustrated, I'm upset. But then I realize that she just needs attention.
Yeah.
She's just bored. She wants to be with her dad. And so I put my phone down and I gave her the attention that she needed. And then it was a miracle. I wasn't frustrated anymore. I wasn't getting hit with things anymore. And it's just, it's these small types of things, I think, that separate Actadads apart from the rest.
Right. So it's really just being conscious, being conscientious, but conscious and like in a mindful, present type of awareness. Because our attention is like, there's so much noise. There's so much noise. And there's a lot of chemicals going on in our brains that go, oh, I need to pick up my phone because I get a boost of serotonin and dopamine, you know, all these kinds of things. Right. And it's like, but we neglect the fact that we're going to get those hits every time we bond with our kids or our spouses. You know, like we're going to get a hit of serotonin and endorphins and all of those things, those good things that are going to keep us coming back for more. But it's like, because those other things like the phone and distractions and all those kinds of things are so more tempting, I guess, or maybe I think that because they give us a stronger jolt, so it's more addicting, right?
Well, they're psychologically...
Exactly.
Developed for that.
It's intentional. Marketers and creators of these things have intentionally made it so that we want to keep coming back for more. We want to keep, you know, that funny show on YouTube or whatever. Like it gives us those hits of the chemicals in our brains that keep us coming back.
Right.
But it's like, wow, if we could just pause and go, wait a minute, I get the same chemical hits when I laugh with my kids and they tell a joke. One of my kids has his humor is so on point. And it's like, where does he come up with this stuff? And we love it, you know, but I wouldn't know that if I didn't take the time to like, or when we're talking and he just throws out a joke or something. We got to be able to.
I heard an interesting statistic the other day that kind of blew me away. And I hope I don't botch it here, but basically the way this stat goes is that 80% of the one-on-one time that you have with your kid will be done between ages 0 and 12. So from 12 on, most of your one-on-one time is going to be done. So if you're not present now, my friend, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the boat. And I definitely don't want to regret waking up when I'm 65 and being like, wow, I wish I would have gone on that camping trip. I wish I would have coached the Little League team. I refuse to let that be my story.
Yeah. Wow. So that brings to mind, you know, more of this idea I want to know because of the time management aspect of things. I think that people go, I know I should be doing these things, but there's so many things vying for my time and attention. And so then you get the guilt, the regret, you know, all those kinds of things. So maybe that comes back to this idea of how do we create something that then gives us more time? Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually speaking at a conference next week in February at the Dad 2.0 conference about this topic, about time management, because I think it's probably one of the most important, most challenging things to get right in your midlife time, right? I'm 37. It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. But I think that there's a few things you need to do. A, you need to be clear on what your goals are. So if you're listening to a show like this, you're probably clear on it. I want to spend quality time with my kids. I want to develop a good family culture. So, okay, cool. We got that. We got that clear. So what are distractions that aren't directly contributing to that? Right? So TV is a big one. TV is a big one. Going out with friends to things that might not be in line with what your goals are. Maybe you have a job that's taking up 80 hours of your work week, right? So you start to kind of audit what you're spending your time on and how relevant it is. And I think that's kind of where I landed on starting a podcast, starting a large Facebook community. And it's just kind of developed from there. But I can say that one of the apps that I use that I think you use also is Calendly. And that's just changed my life. It's someone who's hosting interviews and scheduling. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's worth every dollar. So that's a nice tip there. But just, I think also, again, being clear with yourself and then communicating with those around you. I've been married for over 5 years. I've been with my wife for over 12 now. And before I started all this, I sat down, I talked to her. I said, look, I don't want to snap at random waitresses at the Chinese restaurant. I want to spend quality time with you. I want to be happy. I want to have a financial future. I want to develop this lifestyle of never retire. I had someone ask me on a live show, my wife and I do a live date night show once a week on Friday nights, because I want to create content for my guests, for my, mm-hmm. my audience, but I also want to find time to be with my wife. Yeah. So that's been tremendously rewarding, is that date night live show. It's been so much fun. It's been a lot of fun. Basically, we just go on for a half hour, 9 o'clock every Friday night Eastern. And we just answer flashcards and we have a real conversation with each other and we incorporate the audience. It's been amazingly rewarding. So it's things like that. Again, finding ways to bring your family into what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been a really fun process.
I love that you said, you know, make sure you're setting your intention beforehand, you know, right. having, that was one of the things that I think that what I realized from experimenting and studying about family culture is that you can't have an intentional family culture unless you sit down and you plan out what that's going to look like, what your family means to you, where you want to go with your family, and having a strategy, if not whole, totally mapped out, at least partially mapped out of where you want to go, what you want to accomplish, and be intentional about it. And then state right. those intentions.
Yeah. If you don't communicate that with your partner's going to be like, my husband or wife or my spouse is spending 4 to 5 hours every night locked in their home office. I feel lonely. I feel like I'm being neglected. Yeah. Yeah. You have to communicate that up front and have conversations regularly afterwards.
Yeah.
Again, one of the reasons why I started Date Night Live, I wanted to bring her in. I didn't want to spend Friday nights locked in my office. I wanted to spend some time with her.
That's really cool. Like, I had this conversation with somebody recently, how she and her husband were trying to launch a business or a course or something like that. And so she was feeling kind of guilty because she was spending extra time working on this product before they could launch it, even though knowing that when it was done, they would have more time right afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, oh, I feel so guilty. I never see my kids. And they complain they're not around. And I was like, well, you know, all you have to do is set an intention. If you tell them, look, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be extra busy. Let's work together to support each other through this until it's done, you know? Right. And then it becomes a family goal that even though you're working hard on this thing and you're less, maybe a little less present, you know that you set that intention and that there's a deadline and it's going to end at some point. And right. then it's going to have this reward at the end of it.
Right.
And it was like, you know, how powerful that is to just set an intention, make a statement with your family, get everybody involved. And then everybody's got buy-in. Nobody's going, oh, mom's never around. Dad's never around because of this and that. Well, dad is really actually just working on this thing for, or this is the project that he's working on, or this is this time of the week or the day that he's set aside for this thing. And when he's done, we'll be back, you know?
Yeah. But also setting aside specific time that this is family time. This is not, yes. I'm checking my cell phone. I'm not scheduling interviews during this time. Basically all day Saturday is family day. And then at night, I have a date night with my wife every Saturday night. So Friday night is the show that we do. And then Saturday night is just her and I sitting down communicating. But being, again, when you're intentional about what you want, you can say, I want to have my kids feel like they're loved and they have plenty of attention. Saturday is zoo day. It's beach day. It's biking day.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also tried to do, we're on a break from it because we just recently moved, but we're going to get back to it. No, we do family date nights with mommy, daddy date night. So it's one-on-one. And so it's like, you know, as I was going to say is like, yeah, like we were on the same wavelength because I was just going to be like, but you need to make sure you set intentions for your family too. And one of the things we do, like you said, you have date night with your spouse and we, you know, I think it's important also to have date nights with your children, to have the one-on-one time with them.
Absolutely.
Anyways, have you ever, do you do stuff like that?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I just want to comment that, you know, the new place looks beautiful. If for anyone that's not watching this on YouTube, there is a spectacular view behind Jody. Yeah, so you definitely want to check that out. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Thanks for that, Mark. It's totally a drop cloth, but.
But it works. It works. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, it's either a white wall or a drop cloth. And no, we actually live in a super rural place.
I was gonna say, you're like in the middle of Manhattan, 35th floor. Just it's a drop cloth. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, cool. It's anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, you guys got to check it out on YouTube so you can see what I'm totally seeing. And mention in the comments what you think, because to me, it looks like a window. So I don't know. At any rate, we got a little off topic there. So, as far as, so date night or, dates with your kids.
Yeah.
My 8-month-old still pretty young, right? So, that one-on-one time is still important, but
yeah,
when I had my second kid, I was talking to someone about this yesterday. When I had my second child, one of my concerns was that, well, now 100% of my energy and my attention that was going towards my older daughter is now being split. So yeah. I want my son to have a piece of my action, a piece of the action.
Yep.
And so I typically bring them out together. Smiling a lot helps. Avoid yelling. But then, yeah, I definitely take my daughter out places one-on-one. So you take her to the zoo one-on-one, take her to the beach one-on-one, bike trips. Those are the things that I really enjoy.
Well, and as you establish those routines and your son gets older, as he grows up, you'll have those routines in place. So it'll be easier to integrate, you know, that it means something to them. So yeah.
I don't know how parents with 5 or 6 or 7 kids do it, to be honest. let me know. I want to know.
A lot of grace. I think I have 4 kids and we do, we try to set up the date night thing and then we do like nightly prayers with each of them individually. Mm. You know, I think that if you set too high of expectations, then you start to get more of that guilt, right? That is just kind of unnecessary. I think that as long as you know at some point you have, like you said, being conscious when you're being distracted, put down your phone and that one child is vying for your attention. Well, give it to them. You know, right. if you give them that one-on-one time in the moment when they're like frustrated or extra tender and cuddly or whatever it is, you know, then you're going to get that one-on-one time with them. And
I do think, I do think that guilt is a good thing though. To an extent, like you don't want guilt to overwhelm you or let other people put guilt on you. But I think guilt can be a really positive thing. I'm launching another show, the Lifestyle Savant Show, because I have a lot of people that ask me about podcasting and digital media and building community. So the Lifestyle Savant is starting to manifest itself via YouTube and podcast at some point. But I talked about this the other day. I think guilt is good. There are days where I sleep in too late. Like maybe I sleep until 10 o'clock, for example. And I wake up, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
These are 2 hours that I could have been productive.
Yeah.
Right? Or I eat, you know, I have a goal of losing 10 pounds, but I end up eating like garbage. I go for that second cookie or cupcake and I feel guilty afterward. That guilt is a good thing. That guilt is there to tell you,
right.
You're Make getting off change. Target here.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Sometimes I have an episode somewhere in my back catalog called the difference between divine discontent and just self-deprecation, right? Like there's a difference.
Yes.
When you feel guilty, there is like this motivation going, oh, this doesn't sit right with me. And also when you feel that guilt and you feel that sensation of something is not right, that's really your internal, your core values and your core principles sending you a message.
Right.
This is not in alignment with our values or your personal values. It's time to make a change.
Right.
So you're right. I agree with you. Like if you have that sensation, then you're going, whoa, something's not in alignment with my values. I need to make a change. I need to make a shift towards those values because, you know, sometimes people ask like, how do I know what my core values are? Or how do I know what's important to me? Well, listen, listen to yourself.
Yeah. And don't listen to others. When other people try to push guilt on you because you circumcised your kid or you let them stay up too late, or you took them out of school to go to the local museum. Don't let other people put guilt on you. You establish what's important to you. And when you feel guilty and internally, you listen to yourself. But we live in a world where there's so much outside noise, especially in the mommy groups. My wife will show me some of these posts in these mommy groups. I'm like, what the heck? Like, and that's one of the things that's really important to me with the Actidad community. I have a pretty large group on Facebook is that, you know, we're not here to judge because there's no one right way to do this. We're here to support, answer questions, inspire one another.
Yeah. That's why I think that this whole idea of family culture, establishing what's important for your family. Every family has its own culture and be intentional about what that is. You know, with my family, we are anti about everything. No, I'm just kidding. We homeschool our kids, and you know, we do home business, everything. So we are like against the grain and about everything. And if I constantly was, comparing myself to other people who send their kids off to school, or their dad works so many hours, or the mom works so many hours a day at a job, then I would be confused. It would be really right. frustrating, you know? So it's really important that everybody just figure out, listen to yourself, what your core value is telling you when you feel guilt. And if you are watching somebody, you're comparing yourself to them, listen to that too. I mean, I think that there is sometimes a message going, why does that make me feel jealous? Or why does that make me feel guilty? Is it simply just vanity, or is there something deeper on a deeper level there? Also,
yeah, I learn from others. Like I said, that's probably right. one of the premier goals that I have with the Awesome Dad Show. It's not to tell you how to do stuff, but yeah. Yeah, this is what other people are doing. I interviewed NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer a few months ago, and we started talking about, hey, how do you change from being your kid's coach to being a listener? Because sometimes it's really just about listening. It's not about telling them yeah. what to do. As fathers, I feel like we always want to fix everything. Oh, my daughter has a problem with, we want to fix that. But sometimes it's about listening. And so what he worked out with his daughter, which I thought was really profound, was his daughter will, so he has a hat in his car that he puts on his dashboard. When he takes his daughter to school, when his daughter just wants to talk to him, doesn't have his hat on. He's a listener, right? Mm. He's a listener. And then when she says she wants help or she wants his advice, she asks him to put his coaching hat on. He puts his coach hat on. And that's when he goes into coach mode. So it's about kind of balancing what your kids need, if yeah. you would. And that's something that I definitely plan to establish. Right now, my daughter is 3.5, so I have to tell her how to do everything. Otherwise, she'd probably be dead. but I think that it's little tidbits like that that you should yeah. take the pieces that can help you just be better.
That's awesome. I love that so much, because that's something that I make like making a shift towards with my brand, is this idea of culture hacking. That it's yeah. like, okay, look at the life hacks of people who are thriving or successful, or the little things that they do, like putting on the coach's hat. Hey, we can hack that. Let's pick that up as something that we can do and model that for ourselves, because right. you see that as something that's working and is in alignment with your values. So let's try it. You know,
discipline is another one. Disciplining is hard.
Yeah.
Kids respond differently. I'm not here to judge people if they spank or don't spank or time out. But what we've had some success with, albeit moderate, because toddlers are a whirlwind of emotion. But one thing that we've had success with is just something as simple as a star board. We have a star board. So right. when they do something good, they get a star, and then they get a gift. She gets a gift at the end of the week. And mm-hmm. by switching the mindset from you're going to be punished for doing this, we switch the mindset you're going to be rewarded for doing yeah. this. And that's been successful. Now, sometimes punishment has to happen. So we tend to lean towards doing a timeout, mm-hmm. but again, there's all sorts of different strategies. But again, that's one of the things that's been really rewarding about the Awesome Dad Show is learning what other dads yeah. are doing. Growing yeah. up, it was just kind of about, you're going to get a whooping from dad.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of that, because it really feels crappy to smack your kid. It feels so crappy. Do not yeah. like that.
Yeah. Well, I love that you've been able to recognize, like, okay, this is kind of, I wouldn't say like toxic is kind of a strong word, but there are toxic patterns that we've grown up with that I think it's important to examine, take inventory of them and, or like you said, like audit those things, so that you can decide, like, okay, what are the habits that I want to adopt and carry over into our family? And what are the ones that I just want to leave in the past?
Yeah. So what makes you feel guilty? If you're spanking your kid and you feel like crap afterwards, there might be a better way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There might be a better way. I remember growing up, there was this time, I'll never forget this. My brother and I, my younger brother and I, were having an argument or fight. So I don't know exactly how this happened, but I went into my dad's closet. He was in the Navy, and he was a CB in the Navy, and he had this decorative sword. And so I got out the sword. I was always fascinated with this sword. It was just really decorative and pretty. It was really cool. And we were playing with the sword, and my brother decided that he was upset with me. And I pointed the sword right at him. I said, "Don't you take another step forward." and took another step forward. I'm like, I'm not putting my hand down. I'm not going to do it. And he walked right into the sword. I got in trouble, obviously, because I stabbed my brother with a Navy sword. So I got in trouble, but instead of getting whooped or terrible spankings, I had to write essays. And essay writing will clean you up quick, my friends. You get your kids writing essays, they will learn quickly.
That's so, a good strategy. Yeah.
Yes.
You learned your lesson.
Oh yeah. And you learn life skills, but mostly you learn, I don't want to misbehave because I don't want to write essays.
There you go. Awesome. Mark, this has been really great talking with you. And I love this conversation. Love this, what you're doing with Awesome Dad, Active Dad. And so where can we find you? Where can we connect more with what you're doing?
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Jody. It's been a lot of fun. I love the New York ambiance. You can find me all across the internet. The Act a Dad platform is on every social media platform. I'm on YouTube. I'm on podcast. And that's Act a Dad, like active and dad put together, Act a Dad. And Lifestyle Savant is basically a way of documenting my journey to building Act a Dad. I've now gotten to this point where people are asking me on a daily basis, how do you start a podcast? How do you do an interview? How are you producing so much content and balancing your family life? So Lifestyle Savant is being fleshed out now, but you can find me on Facebook, YouTube, and that's a way, Instagram. And that's a way of kind of documenting how I'm creating the Awesome Dad Show, how I'm creating Act a Dad, how I'm leveraging virtual assistants and calendars and apps and all these different technological processes. Technology is not a bad thing. It's here to be used as a tool, as you are very well aware of. And if you use technology appropriately, it can be very powerful in liberating you to spend time with your family.
Very cool. Wow. Thank you so much. I just want to acknowledge what you're doing. It's really awesome. And that, you know, we need more good, solid, quality voices out here supporting our families, supporting dads, especially, you know, because I think that it's like dads become like minority message or something out there. You know, I think that it's really important to hear a supportive voice for dads, and knowing that dads are so crucial for our children to grow up, to thrive, to be self-confident, to be resilient. We need our dads. So thank you so much, Mark.
Absolutely. I also want to just add here, thank you, Jody, that in order for moms to grow up, to be successful in the workplace and to be successful and to achieve their dreams, it's going to take dads. Dad's got to step up. So I think it's all about working together in harmony and lifting each other up rather than, lift each other up. Don't step on each other's back.
Amen to that. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for being here. Thank you,
Jody.